privilege to be at their wedding. Say I was the best man. Now you're the best man. I guess I was the second best man that chose that. But nonetheless, Cedric and I also were high school teammates, the Jefferson baseball soccer team. Cedric played right wing. I was the right halfback. Cedric made me good by scoring a lot of goals when I passed him the ball. So, I'm here.
You can go on.
Which young man is but first, we embellish the announcements. First of all, those of you who would love to listen to Mike Atwood, anytime during this week, go up to Shannon Hills. He has a week of meetings. You can catch him tonight. Shannon Hills, that's up in Greensboro, Mike Atwood. Certainly, we have a full slate of activities this week for ourselves. We have the youth rally Friday. Saturday night, you might be able to go up there. We have dinner Wednesday here. I don't think that would be a good one there too. I'd also like to remind you that on Thursday, April 17th in Waxhaw, there is an Easter night of worship. This is the Thursday before Easter, which will be hosted by Renewal Church of Waxhaw. You know the history of Renewal. Many of those in fellowship came out of Fairwell Bible Chapel. They are hosting this event. Steve Weisbecker is, thinks you're giving the word that night, is that correct? And also, Weaver's Bible Chapel also is participating in this. So if you can come to that event, 6:30 to 7:30, it's at the Western Union Elementary School in Waxhaw. There are bulletins and flyers like this. But please support that. It's a good way to have free assemblies, get together, and prepare ourselves for Resurrection Sunday. I would also like to remind you, if it has not been stated before, about the CEF Charlotte Metro Area Family Cookout. That is going to be on the 26th of April. That's Bible Baptist. It's 11 to 1 o'clock. And also, if you would like to have more information about the CEF Child Evangelism Fellowship, you know, not your fault, then you should go to the so that would be a very, very good thing to do. Listen, you know that we have been emphasizing evangelism. What can young people do? And there are many things that young people can participate in the area of the evangelism. So one thing, if you are 13 years old, and older, you're not an adult, you can do Christian Youth in Action. You can get trained in evangelism, and then during the summer, when if there are people not only here, but throughout our area, who are going to host a five-day fun in the summer, in the backyard, 1 hour, 5 days a week, pick up 1 week, you invite neighborhood kids, have the gospel presented, who presents the gospel? Young people who have been trained in the gospel. If you want to learn how to do that, and you are 13 years old or a little bit older, up to 18, you can be trained, and you would really benefit greatly from being trained in how to present the gospel, and you would be put to work during the summer by actually having been trained, present the gospel, and run with those programs. Also, what about these five-day clubs? You can impact the world for Christ We have some flyers like that. They're really big. This is 200 pages. But if you want to impact your community for Christ this summer, you can host a 5-day club in your backyard. So pick up the bulletin and we'll tell you what you need to know. Now, that's the end of. Christian is going to read what you might be able to see clearly on the screen. What's it saying? This one? Okay, that's the front. This one also.
Joseph.
This is just one of the messages. All right, so why don't you do the reading?
What will you do with Jesus? Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man," John 19:5. The crowd rejected the Lord Jesus. They screamed, and he was not their king, and that he should be crucified. What will you do? Take him as your savior and Lord. John 10:13. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. Acts 4:20. Nor mention in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Romans 10:9-11. That if you confess with your mouth and the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart believes in unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame.
Okay, this might a little rest. Those verses were pretty much handpicked when I wrote a card to my brother, Bruce. It says, Bruce George Longstreet, 4 years younger than me. He died on September 12, 2012. And this card that Christian read the verses. And, you know, I was going to also ask him to describe the picture. You know, like, it is really Pilate presenting the Lord Jesus to the people. What will you do with Jesus? And the people pretty much shouted, away with him. We will not have him be our king. Crucify him. Crucify him. Well, my brother Bruce and I were very, very close, very close. In fact, you know, we shared a bedroom together, and actually, when it gets right down to it, I've always shared a bedroom with someone. You know, there's no escape, and even after getting married, of course, you know, I'm still sharing. Go to college, there were 3 other guys in my dorm room. What a Zoom that was. But Bruce and I were really very close. There were a lot of things that we shared in common. I learned an awful lot about music from my brother. He was a radio station disc jockey. He was a radio station manager. He introduced me to jazz music, which I really liked. He was a very good baseball player. We both wanted to be just like Bobby Richardson, who was a second baseman for the New York Yankees. At the time, we did not know that Bobby Richardson was a born-again believer in Christ. We grew up knowing the Lord, but thinking that we were okay. When Marge and I were 30 years old, only one family member of ours went to see our baptism, and that was my brother Bruce. He was 26, we were 30, being baptized, and I was very encouraged. He knew our testimonies, he could tell how we have changed, but my brother Bruce, unlike you, you know, like saw that there has to be many ways that we need to celebrate. And he pretty much, I would say, thought that we were pretty narrow-minded. And so we had many opportunities to talk about the Lord. In chatting with Rigo the other day, he mentioned the name George Flores. And I am pretty sure that that George had a radio program Saturday morning on WRCM. My brother was the radio station manager and disc jockey. He was rock and roll station out of college, broadcasting into the New York City area. And I know that George, this George Flores is the same guy, also was trying to bring my brother to Christ, but he never did that. Remember, probably, two or three years before my brother died of cancer, he told me, "Bill, just, you know, kind of back off on gospel stuff. I'm okay. In fact, I really think that Christians are pretty narrow-minded. You know, like, that's the only way. Come on." Well, the verses in this card that Christian read to my little brother was specifically picked by me. And this was written 4 months before my brother died. He died of Christ. Unless the night of my brother's death, he died in California. He died in California. This card, which when Marge and I went out there to go through my brother's belongings, they found that he still had this. It's. What do you do when you are knowing that you're about to start gasping your last breaths for life? Do the things that you heard concerning Christ and the gospel, do they come back in? I don't really know, but we certainly know that what will you do with Jesus is very, very important. Without Christ, there is no hope. Without Christ, see him again. You're not going to be able to be introduced to my brother like I'm able to introduce you to a good friend of mine, Cedric. And Cedric and I, when we grew up together, we probably were pretty similar in this respect. Although we went to church, we did not know the Lord Jesus Christ when we were growing up together. You know, we may have played at church, but there was another time where we came to know the Lord. So I think it would be very helpful for you to understand this morning, what do you do to someone that you love, maybe a family member, maybe a close friend, and you really want to share the gospel with them? How do you do that? What do you really say to them? I believe that all roads can, and that Christians are pretty narrow-minded. I said that. How do you get through? Well, in this particular situation, my brother knew that it was too late for him as far as having any operation or surgery. spoke to him. He was just talking. I can remember talking to him on a weekly basis. Please go to the doctor. Go see a doctor. If they're in trouble, you just gotta be happy. He waited and waited and waited. And he succumbed to cancer. Cancer all through his body. We saw him. So I'm going to read you the letter that I wrote inside this homemade card to my brother. And maybe this will be something that will resonate with you. Some things, some thoughts that maybe you can use to help someone that you love, even a family member. I'm not saying you plagiarize my card. It's not that great. By the way, my brother was a much better writer than I was. He was an English major, I was not. He would correct my grammar, spelling a lot. And he sometimes would say, Bill, you really owe me. Yes. It's a good guy. But this is the letter I wrote to him months before he wrote the letter. Dear little brother, we are all so sorry about the trial you are going through. Literally walking in the shadow of death. And I can truly say, I wish it was me. And not you who were walking in that valley. I believe that I am better able to walk in this valley of death without fear, because the Lord is with me, as verse 4 declares, which is one of the verses that Christian read this morning. And I know him in a very personal way. In fact, he has promised to never leave me or to forsake me. If I am to die physically, or rather, when I do so, I know where I'll be, and that makes quite a difference, an eternal one. I am praying for your spiritual health, first of all, as are many of my friends and extended Christian family, mainly because that is of utmost importance. Yes, of course I'm praying for a reversal of the cancer, even for healing, if that will glorify the Lord. We pray for more time for you. We pray for the Lord's will to be done. We pray that you'll know how much you are loved by us and the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps your heart is soft towards spiritual things, as you have much to think about these days. Please look to the Lord for life, even eternal. You remember when her daughter Sarah, was killed in her car accident 11 years ago. It's 24 years now. We knew that she was called home to where we will be one day, because we, like she, knew the Lord. She was at that time the only one in her car that was prepared to die, or rather, to meet her Lord. Some of her family made decisions for Christ at the last minute and slid home under the tag of death. Baseball example. Carl, most noticeably, it's my brother-in-law, went in on Robinson when she was 90 in Greenville. She had a Chinese woman from Bob Jones University who was coming to clean her apartment. This Chinese woman, years old, to the Lord. It's the Lord. Marge's mother, a couple of weeks after Sarah had died, came to know the Lord. Nancy, my younger sister, a couple of summers ago. Kim, and just recently, our nephew Glenn. What a reunion around the throne of grace someday, maybe even soon. I want you to be there when that script comes. Jan and Stephen pray for good old Uncle Bruce. He used to call himself Goobs, you know, G-O-U-B, good old Uncle Bruce. As do the boys. They are faithful. And you might remember the tract I sent you a couple of years ago, maybe even a little bit longer, about Mantle's final inning. Or best inning. For those of you who don't know, Mickey Mantle, very close to the end of his life, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Yankee fans, you can rejoice about that. And it will be there for 7. It was signed, this tract was signed by Bobby Richardson for you. You. He helped introduce the Mint to Jesus Christ at the end, which finally gave real meaning to Mickey Mantle's life. A life without Christ is meaningless. Richardson, at that time, when he signed that tract, he prayed for your salvation at that time. He was sitting on the grass together. He was asking about Bruce. He pulled out the tract. He wrote a note, wish I had that trap. And he prayed to my brother. God answers prayers. May his and ours, prayers that is, be a cause of rejoicing as you make a choice of eternal significance. Come to Jesus. That's the letter I wrote to him. If, by the way, Christian, thank you for reading those verses. That was a big help to me. I needed that help. Marge prays for her brother. I'm not going to read this letter because it's about 9 pages. However, on Marge's birthday this past year, we were with her brother Wes. You hear that name. Spent over 2 hours with him the Saturday before I wrote this letter. He does not believe that Jesus ever claimed to be here. He does not believe in the Bible. There's a lot of things that he does not believe. But he was very open. The two of us just talked for 2 hours. And this letter starts out here, Wes. From the discussion yesterday, it is obvious that you don't want to believe or trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only true God, the way of salvation. You'd rather create your own God, the God of your own making, than bow your knee to the everlasting, eternal, living God who loves you and wants you to come to him. The tone is a little bit different. It was a little bit more direct than the other things were said. We're not going to leave that one. But again, I know you are praying. Like many of you prayed for my brother. You may not remember that, but you prayed for him. That's that extended family that I was talking about. And I know you're praying for us, and you have family that you are far from the Lord. May the Holy Spirit forgive them of their sin and open the eyes of their faith sometime soon. Child evangelism, I really wish that that was something that we knew about when we were kids. Maybe we would have gone to a 5-day club or something and heard the gospel as kids, but we didn't. I think my brother only heard the gospel after I came to know the soul. At that radio station. Maybe it was George Flores who was giving him the gospel also. Pray for those that you know who need the gospel. There is a bomb in Gilead. We heard that song this morning on the radio. Can we hear bomb? Not in like, yeah. You know, like B-O-M-B. B-A-L-M. There is a bomb in Gilead that can heal a sinful soul. One of the lyrics says, you know, if you can't pray like Daniel, and if you can't preach like Paul, tell about the love of Jesus, you know, and say that he died for all. Be faithful. Look for those appointments. Family members, your neighbors, your co-workers. We are to redeem the time because the days are evil. Hey, Lord, would you be kind enough to just close this time before we go to the questions?
So we thank you for the word that's clearly spoken. I pray that you can speak to all of our hearts in a way that you only know how, and that you can speak to those that don't know you, and that you can melt the heart of stone. I pray for all those that are lost, that are in our lives, that our lives can be a beacon of hope to them. And I pray that you can give us the strength to be the light. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.